we will welcome you back into our Tuesday edition of Let's Talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff Byers, Scott Giese with you. We'll have some open phone time coming up toward the end of the program. For the next half hour or so, we are delighted to be joined via the telephone line by Char Moret Curtis, who is just enjoying retirement, just sitting around doing nothing 24 hours a day. You're just sitting on your bed and just reading all day now, huh, Char?
Yeah, I'm taking knitting lessons. I'm catching up on, like, old, Seinfeld and Friends series, those types of things. You know, taking long walks through the Arboretum. I'm really nothing, you know, pretty mindless.
Knitting, well, come on, knitting is fun. Knitting is fun.
Well, to each their own.
To each their own.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry, in all honesty, schedule-wise, like in terms of the hours that you are putting in during the day, are you putting in more hours now with everything you're doing, or about the same, or is it a little less than what you were doing when you were coaching the field hockey program?
Yeah, you know, coaching, you know, your time demands in season are, we all know, it's like 24/7, right? And then you have a little bit of break time, but you start back up. So you have those, you know, weeks, I would say, of, you know, vacation time or downtime when you're coaching. Whereas with this program, I'm not going 24/7, but I'm probably, you know, pretty busy consistently week to week. There's really always something, you know, on my plate. Some Zoom committee meets once a week, which I'm really, really proud of that. We've been able to accomplish a lot in our first 10 months, I would say. My husband Doug and I, we took a vacation a couple weeks ago to the Bahamas, and I would say it was probably the first time that I really shut down for a good, like, 8 days. Yeah, so I'm back at it. Always pumped and passionate about what we're trying to accomplish as teammates for life.
Hey, Char, Scott here. It's been a long time, girl. I haven't seen you in a long time.
I know. How are you doing?
Well, not too bad, I guess. Now, again, the background on this is, all right, I'm not an alum, but I'm a member of the Alumni Association because primarily I had a kid who was an alum. And they had a recent blurb. If you're a member of the association, you're probably on their email list and you see stuff from them, you know, periodically. That, Char, you're doing an online event today at 12 noon in regards to Girls and Women in Sports Day. Now, first off, what's going on at noon? What are you doing there?
So I'm going to start out and talk a little bit about National Girls and Women in Sports Day and the impact that it's had on our participation, our growth of women's sports from, you know, junior high, elementary, junior high, high school, college, professional, and, you know, how this, you know, I would say the women's girls competing in sport is a big deal now. It's a big deal. And in 1982, Reagan signed a proclamation to make sure that this day gets celebrated every year. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit and also what we're doing here at Penn State, what the various sports teams have done leading up to this date and what a few of them are going to be doing after this date. Softball just, I hate to say, they just knocked it out of the park on Sunday. They had a community day. Clarissa and her staff put together an amazing event where 500 people came to Haluba to watch an inter-squad scrimmage between her players, and it was just outstanding. And that's what we want to do, is we want to bring awareness to our teams participating. All the little girls that were at Community Day in Haluba for softball, we want to inspire them, engage with them, mentor them, and just uplift them to know that there are more and more opportunities developing every year for them to play sports.
Now, the Alumni Association little blurb that I saw before we scheduled this referred to you as legendary Penn State coach. And I'm wondering, Char, when's the statue going up? Do you know where the statue is going?
Yeah, you know, what I do have that I'm extremely proud of is Crawford Architects. When we planned the stadium, we put the first shovel on the ground, they gave me my own personal bobblehead. So, we're going to start with the bobblehead right now. So there's only one. I have it, and I'm actually fine with that. Fine with that. I think the stadium itself just speaks volumes of the success of the field hockey program. that, you know, has been going on for 60 years. We're going to celebrate 60 years of women's athletics at Penn State this year. And I think that's just a tribute to the coaches and the pioneers, the Marty Adams, Della Durant, Ellen Perry, that have really, you know, forged the path for us to be successful and to grow here at Penn State.
If you have a bobblehead, that means you've made it. Wow, you've made it. Now, Shar, just for folks who don't know, maybe they're new to the area or something, briefly talk about your background as far as either sports in general or Penn State in specific. Tell us something about your experience.
Yeah, well, my competitive juices started flowing when I was born into a family of five brothers, right? So right away, now I learned how to be competitive at the dinner table, in the streets, on the basketball court, ice hockey. So I would say getting, you know, pushed around a little bit and then learning how to push back really launched my competitive spirit. And then going to Lansdowne in high school, I had three outstanding female coaches who really, I would say, gave me the vision that I could take my athleticism and my high school degree to the next level. No one in my family had ever gone to college. I wasn't sure that we were going to be able to afford, we were going to be able to afford sending me to college, but I went to a camp in the Poconos, and Jillian Rattray saw me play and contacted my coach, Joan Broderick, and, you know, gave me the opportunity to come to Penn State on a scholarship to play field hockey and lacrosse. And I am so extremely grateful for that. That moment changed my life. And then to come to Penn State and get an outstanding education to play some of the best facilities. We were one of the first universities to ever have AstroTurf, which definitely developed my field hockey skills, which launched me onto the United States field hockey team, eventually to the Olympics, and, you know, survived a boycott, went to L.A. in 84 and won a bronze medal. And then my coaching career, you know, started Boston College and came down to Penn State in 87 and just retired, you know, after 36 beautiful years. So that's pretty much my story. And now I'm working on something I'm as equally passionate about as coaching, Teammates for Life, where we're really looking to engage and celebrate, you know, the female athletes that we have here at Penn State.
Now, Shar, is this acceptable? I know I've seen this on shirts, maybe signs somewhere, talking about field hockey players and referring to them as chicks with sticks. Is that allowed or is that a slam?
I don't know, but I have this article from when I was interviewed in 1978. And, you know, the guy was talking to, I forget who our SID person was here. I think Dave Baker may have been in the department back then. But he came in from the Pittsburgh Gazette, and he was like, this girl can't play field hockey. That's just a sport for, like, brutes. And I'm like, no. This is actually a finesse game. It's a finesse game. But, yeah, you know, we use our sticks really to demonstrate and showcase our skills.
You ever try playing ice or field hockey, Ironhead?
Oh yeah!
I mean, that thing's a weapon.
It is.
It's a weapon. All right, and those girls know how to use that weapon.
They do indeed.
Holy smokes! Crazy stuff. Now, girls and women in sports day, is that like today? Is it a day?
Yes, that is today. It's the first Tuesday in February, and it's celebrated all around the country at every level. You know, here at Penn State, as I mentioned, the community day for softball, there's the ice hockey brought little girls to their game last week and let them skate after the game. I know that, you know, women's basketball, same thing, did a little clinic, brought the Girl Scouts in. You know, we want to continue to grow it here at Penn State, and I think Teammates for Life can help with supporting that initiative and trying to get the little girls, and maybe it's the elementary, junior high, high school girls, to come to Penn State campus and really spend a full day here getting a good look at, you know, what our student athletes go through here while they're you know, getting a degree.
All right, let's go back in time here a little, Shar. Let's go back to the 70s. All right, and we'll stick here at Penn State, or not necessarily other places. What was women's sports like at Penn State back in the 1970s, and somehow then compare it with today? Because I know it's not comparable. What was going on in the 70s with women's sports? Anything?
Well, you know, we were very, very fortunate here at Penn State, as I said, because the visionaries felt that Title IX was enacted in 1972, right? So that's the big push. 1972, Title IX gets enacted, And really what it states is if you're receiving federal money, that you have to make sure that you provide equal opportunities for both female and male sports at your universities, right, if you're receiving that federal funding. Well, you know, it was enacted, but nobody was really twisting anybody's arm about it. And Penn State was one of the first universities to provide these scholarships for females that were here playing sports, like a Chris Larson, Sharon Duffy. And when I came in 75, you know, I had the luxury of having that scholarship as well. But they did it because they felt it was the right thing to do. They really weren't doing it like because someone was like putting their toes in the fire. So right away, bringing that talent to Penn State campus for their female sports, I would say, elevated our women's teams. You saw women's gymnastics, Judy Abner. They won a national championship. We won a national championship in 1978 and 79 in lacrosse. So we were the university, the women's program that was just soaring to new heights for women's sports, very visible. Taryn Pesto was on the cover of Time magazine when they did a big article about the impact of Title IX. So it was happening here in the 70s.
All right, let's backtrack.
Now, today, it's different, yeah.
Go ahead.
So, you know, our game schedule was like 10 games, 12 games. You know, we were on trimesters when I was in school here, so you played field hockey in fall. Winter, 10 weeks from that trimester, you pretty much had off. You were getting prepared for lacrosse. Lacrosse was in the spring, and then you took the summer off. You went home, you got your summer job, and came back in shape, ready to start the next fall season. So there, you weren't training in one sport all year round, which is really the biggest difference that I see with our student athletes today. They're very scheduled, you know, every month of the year.
All right. Now, from your knowledge, Char, let's go back 50 years, Title IX. Where did this come from? I mean, did a certain person stand up and said, we need to do this? Was there some groundswell of support that said, we need to do this? Where did Title IX come from? Do you have any idea?
You know, that's a great question. You know, I got to be honest. I don't think I've really ever researched it. All we always hear is, like, Title IX was enacted in 1972, right? So that's... That was something I believe that would have been Nixon putting into legislature. And again, it wasn't something that really was front and center. Like, there wasn't like a rush of enthusiasm and engagement to make sure that this law was being upheld, right? I mean, we still are behind in opportunities for women at various universities and different you know, venues. So it's something that we're still trying to catch up. By no means. We all know it. It's not 50-50 with what's going with women's sports. It's getting better, and in some places it is and beyond, but we still have a lot of work to do. And, you know, I credit Billie Jean King. You know, 50 years ago, she got equal pay for the women on the tennis circuit. That's huge. We celebrated that this year. So women such as, like, the Billie Jean Kings, I mean, she was, I would say, the person was front and center making sure that these programs were, you know, developing.
Char, for those that don't know, talk a little bit more about Teammates for Life and kind of what the objectives are there for you and just kind of how the initial process is going here for you. I know, again, it's it's a lot of hours and a lot of people that you're talking to.
Well, you know, Jeff, I'm very fortunate. Like I said, I was able to leave something I love so much, coaching at Penn State, too. Then be given the opportunity by Pat Kraft to develop this women's initiative where we're supporting our current student athletes. We're engaging them with our alumni base, not just former student athletes themselves. But it's really about creating relationships. And we all know when you have a relationship with someone, it's meaningful. You know, it's not you're checking a box, you're joining a club, you're putting it on a resume. We are looking to engage our student athletes with each other here on campus. Because as I mentioned earlier, they're so scheduled. We want them to know who's competing, you know, in rec hall, who's competing at BJC, on the field. So if we can get them to support each other, get the women in our own community and on our campus to support our female athletes here, that, again, is just going to raise the awareness for the support for women's sports. So that's the groundwork that we laid. We had an event in May. We invited 180 women from the community and campus. We had 90 women show up, and we were overwhelmed. We're like, wow, know, there is going to be the support for our athletes here. Yep. And beyond that, we want to bring in leaders from, you know, different business programs, you know, maybe it's doctors, maybe it's lawyers, maybe it's entrepreneurs to come to campus to engage with our student athletes. But we also want to take our student athletes off campus to those different businesses so they can see firsthand how you run, you know, produce a sports show at NBC in Stanford. There's a former, you know, Penn Stater there. Amanda Gifford is at ESPN. She's offered to bring our student athletes to the studio so they can see firsthand what it looks like, you know, to be a professional in that space. Then the other thing we want to do is we call it community connection.
Sure. Hang on to that thought just for a moment. Sorry, we are up against a commercial break. I do want to pick up right there when we come back in mere minutes.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead, exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox Ironhead.
Lady line guard Ashley Owuzu has been named to the Big Ten Weekly Honor Roll after averaging 17.5 points, 8 rebounds, and 4 assists per game last week. Owuzu also went over the 1,500-point milestone for her career. Penn State went 1-1 on the week and is gearing up for a game at second-ranked Iowa Thursday night at 9. Penn State's Katie Deza has been named the College Hockey America Goaltender of the Week. Deza made 40 saves on 42 shots in the 2 victories over Mercyhurst. Penn State will be back in action at Robert Morris this weekend. Penn State Volleyball's Michal Koval is the EIVA Offensive Player of the Week, and teammate Ryan Merck is the Defensive Player of the Week. Koval hit 375 over the 2 matches and averaged 4.63 kills per set, while Merck averaged 3.25 digs per set. The Nittany Lions will host Fairleigh Dickinson on Saturday at 4.
Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Here's the K2 Roots Foxcast. Several hours of sunshine today, the high 40 degrees, mainly clear and cold tonight, low 20 to 25. Some sunshine tomorrow, and temperatures will strive for 45. Thursday and Friday, mild with several hours of sunshine, and temperatures taking a run at 50. This is WeatherBell.com, Chief Meteorologist Joe Bastardi.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Beer Belly's Beverage in downtown State College, located at 258 West Hamilton Avenue within the Hamilton Square Shopping Center. At Beer Belly's, they have over 500 beers, including domestics, imports, microbrews, seasonal selections, ciders, and more. Beer Belly's is open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday, noon to 5 p.m. on Sunday. Check out our website at beerbellysbeverage.com. Beer Belly's Beverage, 258 West Hamilton Avenue in State College. Beer better, Beer Belly's.
Talk about great prices. Center Hall Farm Store has fantastic deals to help you save money all winter long on heating wood pellets.
Come here, Bear. Come on. Come on.
Oh, yeah. And for your ferocious little pomapoo, shepherd, horses, and just about every other farm animal, even your birds. Center Hall Farm Store has created its own perfect, unique mixture of feed, along with commercial feed of your choice. Center Hall Farm Store, 110 West Allison Street, Center Hall. CenterHallFarmStore.com.
Hi, this is Corey Comfer from Joel Comfer Toyota in State College. Are you looking for a dealership to call home? Joel Comfer Toyota is a locally owned family business that has been serving the community for over 45 years. Come see us and let us help you with your next vehicle experience. We're located at 120 East Clinton Avenue in State College, just behind the Waffle Shop on North Athens Street. Or visit us 24/7 at joelcomfer.com. And remember, good things happen in your community when you buy local.
The title and tag service that is customer-friendly and locally owned is at Joel Confer Quality Pre-Owned in Pleasant Gap. And as part of the Joel Confer family of dealerships, Monica Prisk is experienced and has been serving customers for 13 years. Cameron Confer is on the title and tag team and is there to help you with all of your title and tag needs. Stop at Joel Confer Quality Pre-Owned at 475 East College Avenue in Pleasant Gap and have Monica or Cameron answer any of your title and tag questions. Remember, good things happen in your community when you buy local.
The Fox Sports Weekend.
For the past 65 years, there's only been one race where a legend can cement his legacy.
Jimmy Johnson's going to win the Daytona 500.
Or an underdog can experience a career-defining moment.
Finally, Michael Waltrip is going to win, winning the Daytona 500.
Who will experience that this year? The 66th running of the Daytona 500, February 18th.
Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox. Get up and get going.
Let's Talk is the name of the program. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox is the name of the station. Jeff Beyer, Scott Giese, and some open phone time coming up a little bit later. We are joined by the legendary Char Moret Curtis. No doubt about that. Thrilled to have her. Teammates for Life is the organization. We do have, again, our event coming up on Monday night where we're teaming with Char and company. Winning Ways is the program. It'll be 5 to 6 this coming Monday night, February 12th, at Cafe 210. And Char, really looking forward to it. And, you know, not a bad way to open it up with you and then Carolyn Kager, who has that Lady Lion basketball team rolling right now. Tough loss to Michigan, but boy, this is a team that is playing really, really well now and obviously has a big opportunity. I don't know that there's a player out there right now that is more recognizable in all of college basketball, to your point with women's sports and the significance that it holds now. I don't think there's a men's player that is as well known right now as Caitlin Clark is for the Iowa Hawkeyes. So that'll be a big game coming up on Thursday night for the Lady Lions. And then again, we'll have a chance to talk with Carolyn Kager and you Monday night. That'll be from 5 to 6 down at Cafe 210, and really looking forward to that. Jim Galati and Landon Tangwall will host it. I'll stop by at the beginning of it before I head up to the Jordan Center for that big dual meet between Penn State and Rutgers. But we appreciate the partnership there, Char, and are really looking forward to that event, and then hopefully many more down the road here with you.
Yeah, Jeff, I'm so glad we had that meeting at the Waffle Shop one morning with you and Jim and myself, and just brainstorming ways that we continue to bring visibility and recognition to our female athletes and coaches. You're exactly right. Keegs has his team going. They're so exciting to watch, and it's going to be a big game out in Iowa. I know our Lady Lions are going to show up and compete, and I think there's an upset in the making.
Yeah, it would be awesome to see. That would be fun. Well, go ahead, Scott.
Caitlin Clark, all right. Char, I don't know if you're a college basketball fan or not, but she is, forget gender, she is the biggest college basketball player in the country right now.
Yeah.
Everybody's following her now. Every TV network wants to put Iowa on now. When you look at that whole situation, what do you think?
Oh, I'm so inspired and just so proud that Caitlin does it with such class and tenacity and engagement. I mean, when you watch her play with people right in her face, she hits those shots. I mean, she hits them from like the half court line now. You're just like, wow, she's talented. She's just on defense. She's a team player. You know, it's what we want this, you know, our female role models to look like, and she's just
You know, pretty recently we had the passing of Tom Tate, and he was just such a big part of Penn State athletics in general. Obviously started both the women's program you know, from the get-go, and then transitioning the men's program from, you know, club sport to varsity status, but just such a big part of the Penn State history. And I know, again, he's one of many, many individuals who were a part of kind of getting women's sports rolling here in the 70s, and then really keeping the high profile status, you know, through the 80s and moving forward. But just wondering some of your thoughts on Tom Tate and the impact he had, not just on women's sports, but on Penn State University.
Yeah, no, he really put us on the map with men's and women's volleyball. When you think about it, our teams are so successful right now because of the groundwork that he laid, the passion he had for both the female program and the men's program. He brought Russ Rose in. He transitioned, you know, Mark Pavlik to this position. So, you know, I think he gets a ton of credit. The other piece about Tom Tate is he was, in my opinion, the best professor in kinesiology. That's saying a lot. But the reason I say that is because he inspired you to learn kinesiology, learn anatomy, learn the workings of the body and movement, and his tests were just brutal. But, you know, he made you learn and understand the material, and that's what I give him a ton of credit for, and really am grateful that he was a part of my experience here at Penn State. And he's a legend. He's absolutely a legend. And he would come back. It was always great to see him. I'm not sure the last time I saw him. I think it might have been like 5 years ago. But he always stayed connected to Penn State.
And he was a good man. He was just a good man. Let's back up a little bit, Shaw, all right? Penn State, great stuff. Is this, you know, the progress in women's sports, is this uniform? In other words, all right, that could be other Big Ten schools, in other words, major, like, big schools, or Division II, or Division III, I'm thinking smaller schools. Is this progress in women's sports really uniform, or is it mainly, well, it's sort of happening here and not so much over here? What do you think?
Oh, it's happening everywhere. It's happening everywhere. You know, Deloitte just came out with a statement that, you know, women's professional sports are going to generate over $1 billion next year. I don't think it's just professional. I think it's college. I mean, that's a statement right there. But you see, you know, like I said earlier, little girls playing all the different sports, soccer. There's a Pee Wee League for field hockey, lacrosse. Women's lacrosse is exploding coast to coast. So I would say Division II, Division III, those colleges and universities, they're proud of the way their women are competing, and they're supporting them, I think, just the same as they are their men's programs to this point.
Shar, what are your thoughts on just the ever-changing world right now of intercollegiate athletics with the NIL stuff and the transfer portal in particular? Just your thoughts on the impact that is having, both positively and, you know, negatively from your viewpoint.
Yeah, you know, I'm still trying to wrap my head around it.
I think we all are.
Felt like when I came, yeah, I know. You know, Jeff Scott, when I came to Penn State, you know, in the 70s, you know, if you can imagine like the seesaw, like academics were the priority. And Joe Paterno was the role model for all us coaches, for all the student athletes here. Academics were held in as the top priority. Athletics were kept in perspective within its role that it played within the university. And now that you know, seesaw is just flipped the other way. You know, it just, so much emphasis is on the athletic component. You know, why I think that's healthy that we have those opportunities to develop our student athletes to a higher level to possibly go pro. At the same time, I think it's important that we don't lose sight, you know, of the reason why we're attending a university, and that's to get an education. And I'm a little concerned that's sliding, you know, to the back burner, where I think it needs to stay front and center.
You really think that's going to happen? Shar, we had a story earlier. National Labor Relations Board says that the men's basketball players at Dartmouth are now employees and apparently are allowed to unionize. And I'm looking at this story, I'm thinking, that's the end of college sports. It's the end. I mean, what do you think on that? Would you like to be would you have liked to have been unionized, and you're an employee of Penn State as an athlete? Do you think that would have been a good thing?
No, I don't, because you know, here at Penn State, I had life balance. You know, I was able to compete for different seasons. I was able to, you know, enjoy my classes, enjoy my time away from the classroom and the field, and make friendships all around. And then I went to the working world. If you're going to start working the minute you get out of high school, you know, what's your future look like? Where is your mental health state going to be? if it's going to be a continuous grind. I think, you know, we want to look at the university experience as something that we're building in lifelong lessons on how to manage in the working world and continuing to be physically and mentally healthy along the way. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, right? I think Northwestern tried to do that about 10 years ago, maybe. But it's interesting to me, a school like Dartmouth, you know, an Ivy League school, where I believe the Ivies have great perspective on how they maintain the balance between academics and athletics within their universities. But no, I would not like that. I mean, I don't know how they're going to manage it. I don't know. It's a whole new world out there.
Bobblehead would fall under NIL, wouldn't it?
That's what it would be these days.
That would be. All right. Now, Shar, we have to ask this, okay? Girls and Women in Sports Day, or week. And again, this is not a huge controversy. It's actually a tiny controversy because we're talking about a handful of people, transgender athletes, all right? They used to be male. Now they identify as female, and they want to play sports, you know, on women's sports teams and so on. I'm simply curious, Shar. You have any thoughts on that as far as your experience and, you know, different girls and women's sports and so on? What do you think about that whole situation?
You know, I'll go back to 1984 when I was competing in the Olympics. They gender tested us. They swabbed our inside cheek and, you know, made sure that the women were competing against the women. I think that's where the East Germans were, you know, bulking up with steroids, increasing their testosterone level. I think the most important thing is we have to make sure that the product that we're putting out, the people that are on the field are going to be safe, right? And I feel like there needs to be more studies with the men that are competing against women in some of these sports. I listened to a webinar, the sports scientists from South Africa dove into it pretty deeply, looking at how the boys and the girls change once puberty hits, and the muscles that are grown for the men and the bones that are grown, they're not changing. You can't take that back. And I just think that, you know, there's a platform for them, and let's find a space in which we can allow them to compete safely. But I really am very cautious about their position on, you know, in sport, in women's sports, right?
Yeah. And that's where we are. Yeah. That's where we are.
Yeah.
I mean, Shar, to your knowledge, has this ever come up at Penn State? I've never heard of anything. Has this ever come up here?
No, it hasn't. But you know what's interesting is in the state of Pennsylvania, because there's no boys field hockey at the high school level, the boys have been competing on girls' teams in high school sports. Now, I don't know if the rules have changed, if PIAA has changed any of those rules. I know some of the private schools, they would not be allowed to compete. The boys would not be allowed to compete in the championship sector of the season. But, you know, it's interesting, and I'm just wondering, you know, if that change has been made or if it's going to, you know, get changed pretty soon.
Is that at the high school level? Any level?
Yeah.
Because
at the high school, I went, and this was not that many years ago, but because they didn't have the opportunity, there was no men's boys field hockey team.
Yeah.
So they were allowed to compete on the girls' teams. Same with, like, if there's not a girls' wrestling program, I think the girls were able to compete on the wrestling programs, right? Is that still in place?
I think now because the PIAA has sanctioned girls' wrestling, I don't think that is the case anymore because now they have the opportunities. But, I mean, that just went into effect this year or so.
Okay.
All right, Shar, we got about a minute and a half till we're done. Equality between men's and women's sports, it's still not there. Just open-ended, what has to happen to get to that point? Will we ever get to that point?
Well, I think now that you're seeing more advertising dollars go to sponsor these women's programs, just like you talked about Caitlin Clark being on every different channel, that's if we can generate funds, and we're going to be able to then put that funding back into the grassroots of these women's programs. And I think that's what needs to happen. And we have to have a voice. It's on us. It's on us as women to have this voice. And I think that, you know, now that we, you know, I love that we now have a woman who's a general manager of a Major League Baseball team. Like, we go out and we talk to these young girls and we're like, look, if you can dream it, you can be it. So play sports, you know, be confident, be competitive, and hopefully those characteristics are going to transition, you know, as they grow into women taking on these professional jobs.
Well, I don't think there's a better voice or advocate than you, and excited about the Teammates for Life organization. And again, we're really excited about Winning Ways. Shar again will be joining us down at Cafe 210. Jim Galani and Landon Tangwall. I'll be there at the start of it, but we'll have Carolyn Keeger and a Lady Line basketball player or two, and that'll kick off what will be a series of shows that will occur over the course of, well, hopefully many years here, but looking forward to that. Yeah. Shar, as always, we can't thank you enough for the time and for all you do. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Scott. Have a great day.
Thank you.
You too.
And once again, that event is this coming Monday, which is the 12th. Cafe 210 West, downtown State College, yep. From 4:30 to 6.
Yeah, we'll be on the air from 5 to 6, okay. But we'll have some kind of pre-show stuff down there from 4:30 to 5. Should be a whole lot of fun. We'd love to see all of you down there. There will be drink specials, the burger basket, all of that good stuff, and really, really looking forward to that. As always, appreciate the time of Shar Marek Curtis. We'll have some open phone time when we come back.